Welcome in, McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 7 a.m. Right here on Jocks 94.5. Listen online at jocksfm.com. The app is in your app store, iPhone, Android. Listen to that for free. Search WJOX. NFL action, you can hear it right here on Jocks 94.5 all weekend. Divisional round coming up. Injuries really seem to be kind of the big part of the story here, G-Mac, when you're talking about Tampa Bay. Ryan Jensen hasn't practiced all week. Tristan Wirfs still in a boot, even though he did come back and play in that game against Philadelphia last week. Green Bay is looking at potentially getting Jair Alexander back at corner, maybe Za'Darius Smith, who's been out since week one with a back issue. On defense, of course, Nick Bosa has been in concussion protocol for the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy G, a little bit limited. We know most teams going to be beat up at this point in the season. That's nothing new, but some of these are going to be critical with the matchups that we think could be deciding some of these games, particularly, as you stated earlier in the week, Tampa Bay and Los Angeles. If Jensen and Wirfs are not near 100% or not playing, boy, that's a massive advantage for the Rams.
Yes, it is. And it doesn't mean that Tampa Bay won't ultimately win the game because how quickly Tom Brady gets the ball out of his hands. But my goodness, I mean, being at less than 100% against those glass eaters / fire breathers up front, dude, they're all speed. The Rams are all speed up front. Aaron Donald, move them all over the line. Doesn't matter. He's going to create a one-on-one advantage. You got Leonard Floyd on the other side. Leonard Floyd's a handful. All right. You got Von Miller, a Hall of Famer who's hungry, by the way. Like, if you look at the Rams depth chart, it's like an all-star team. They really are. They have the best corner in football, the best interior defensive lineman in football, and generationally, arguably the best edge defender in the NFL. How many teams have had that? Like, Von Miller single-handedly won a Super Bowl. Like, single-handedly. Aaron Donald could. And Jalen Ramsey's a complete lockdown who's going to be guarding Mike Evans all day long.
How'd you lose five games would be my question.
Because it's the regular season, and those guys don't bring it every week. That's right. You heard me.
Okay. All right.
Tell me you disagree.
I do not disagree, but one thing that's interesting about that is you mentioned that Rams front, all about twitch, all about speed, all about athleticism. Leonard Fournette was supposed to go last week. Now, reports saying that he could go this week. Could that lead to maybe Tampa deciding to be a little bit more ground and pound, take a little bit off Tom Brady, try to open up some play action? Obviously, they have the ability to go multiple tight ends. We know that they can roll multiple tight end sets, and that could open up some things with the run game. Keyshawn Vaughn looked pretty good last week. I don't know if they're going to just lean on him in a game like this, but could the run game be something for Tampa Bay that is a little more beneficial in a matchup like this because of how you described that Rams defensive front?
You have to be able to run the ball. That's why the Rams, I feel like, the one, I guess, Achilles heel that they have is when you go right at them. Like, watch, if you go back and look at just how San Francisco approached them in the first time they played this year, I mean, San Francisco just ran it right down their throat. And it was a physical bloodbath. It's actually awesome to watch. Nothing made me happier. It was at San Francisco's on Monday night, and it was a beatdown, like 31-10. So I think that's the way you beat them. And San Fran's beaten them twice, by the way, albeit the second time around was week 18. And it was obviously not as convincing the second time around. The Rams almost won that one after they've reinvented themselves. So look at the teams they've beaten. The Rams, Baltimore. Okay. Baltimore without Lamar Jackson, not going to give them a ton of credit there. No disrespect to Tyler Huntley. Let's just keep things in perspective. At Minnesota, not exactly a gangbuster group along the offensive front. Seattle, certainly not. Arizona, huh. Jacksonville, no. All right, so these are the teams that they've beaten. The teams they've lost to this year, Tennessee, we know what they are. San Fran, twice, we know what they are. And Green Bay. So you better be able to run the rock against the Rams, because if you can't, they will beat you. But if you can, you have a real chance of knocking them off. But I think that might still be the most dangerous team remaining in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, 44 for 156 on the ground last time around. Again, when they faced San Francisco, like you said, the Rams went 10 for 52 in that game. So Tampa, can they get it going? And I think one thing about Tampa that a lot of folks don't really want to talk about or haven't talked about is their rush defense. And I know it's not where the Rams necessarily are going to live, but we saw how effective that could be against Arizona last week. This Tampa Bay defense gives up 92.5 rushing yards per game. And that's top five rush defense in the NFL. And we know how active those linebackers are. We know what Vita Vea is. So if you're looking for balance, and if for some reason the Rams do have to have balance to be successful in this game, that Tampa Bay defense may be able to mitigate that. Now, you're going to have to eliminate some of the weapons on the perimeter because we know how dangerous Kupp, Jefferson, Beckham, and company can be. Obviously, not easy to just lock those guys down. But you do get a Carlton Davis who can help with that. You've got a pretty good secondary. So I think it makes the matchup really interesting. It's one that I'm excited about. But you mentioned that San Francisco rushing attack, obviously, taking it to Green Bay. If there was a team that was going to have to travel and then have to travel there, their style of play would be one that I'd probably want to be able to go travel there and be able to play there. Nick Bosa, concussion protocol. All signs are that that will not be an issue and that he'll be back and he'll be on the field and he'll be ready to play. And you're going to need him against Aaron Rodgers, who obviously is most likely going to be the MVP of the league this year and can move around, can do different things, avoid the rush. But San Francisco, how much of this game comes down to Jimmy G? And if there is a thumb issue, if there is a shoulder issue, if he is extremely limited, then that run game becomes even more important. If Green Bay can add a Za'Darius Smith back to the mix, maybe that helps bolster what they have up front against the run. But to me, Jimmy G is the story for San Francisco heading into that game against Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers has seen a pass rush before. We know what the weapons are. We know what the offense is. We know that Green Bay front obviously going to have their hands full, but I also think that they may be able to add defenders if Garoppolo is not effective early. So can Kittle get out? Can Debo get out? Can Kittle and Debo enough in high percentage stuff, whether it's jets, handing the ball off, quick throws, can that be enough for San Francisco to win this football game? Does Garoppolo have to be successful down the field often for the 49ers to go get this win on the road?
I think he's got to hit a few for sure. I'm not sure it's going to be, if I'm San Fran, I don't know if I want it to become, hey, we're going to push it down the field. We're going to try to create big plays. Like, I want to be methodical. Like, let's test him. And I think Jimmy's going to have to make a few throws for sure. But Jimmy does a pretty good job over the middle of the field too, right? Like, that's his, like, pushing the ball vertically. That's not really his strength. I mean, can he do it? Sure. I mean, there just can't be a starting quarterback in the league if you can't. But that's not really who he is. Like, he works the middle of the field and he's pretty decent off play action. I would also get him moving. Like, I think Jimmy G is a very underrated athlete. He's not going to take the game over with his legs, but I would go with as many bootlegs. I'd move the pocket. I'd simplify things for him, because if there's one thing that Jimmy will do, he will throw the game away if you let him. I mean, the guy makes unnecessary picks every once in a while. And sometimes you're left scratching your head as to why, but he will sometimes. And if he's pressing, it can get ugly. So you got to be very efficient on first and second down. And I would go with an awful lot of boot action and movement stuff for him to just cut the field in half and to create more opportunities for him to just read 1-2 as opposed to 1-2-3-4-5.
You know one thing that never gets cut in half? It's the inventory at Royal Automotive. And no matter where life takes you in 2022, for every ride, there's Royal. My friends at Royal Automotive in Vestavia have you covered with new cars, trucks, and SUVs that come in every single day. When they say every ride, they mean it. Your old car included. You can upgrade today, trade your vehicle in for top dollar. Four dealerships on one lot means that whatever you want to drive, they've got it. Where else can you find 2022 GMC Sierra and Yukon, Buick Enclave, Volkswagen Atlas, Volvo XC90, all in one spot? And not to mention Royal's selection of hundreds of pre-owned models. Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Royal Automotive Pre-Owned, and Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills have your next car, truck, or SUV. Reserve a new model in under an hour. It can be that fast. It can be that easy. And they'll even deliver your new ride right to your driveway. How convenient is that? You already know where to find the fine folks at Royal, corner of I-65 and Highway 31 in Vestavia, or online at royalautomotive.net. For every ride, there's Royal. We continue the NFL discussion into the divisional round of the playoffs next. Also, John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, will be with us right after this on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
I miss what happened a second ago. It sounded like, you ever see the movie Grandma's Boy?
No.
Never seen that movie?
No. Never heard of it.
Dude, you got to go see Grandma's Boy. You have an assignment this weekend.
Is that the play you went to last night?
No, I went to Dear Evan Hansen last night.
Is that about one of the Hansen brothers?
No, it's a very sad show.
Oh, then yes, sign me up.
No, I'm not saying that. I said Grandma's Boy is what you need to watch. Grandma's Boy is not sad. It's funny.
It's funny.
And one of the guys thinks he's a robot, or he listens to robot music, quote unquote robot music. And that music that you played a second ago, Damian, even though you claim you didn't play it.
I don't know. I don't know if I played it, but you know.
No, you played it.
There's no way I did.
No, I think it was you.
It wasn't.
Feel very good about it being you. Long story short, he listens to robot music and it sounded quite a bit like that. So it felt like my ears were bleeding for a second.
Ah,
got it.
But we survived.
We did.
You know what I don't do? When I'm driving around in my new GMC Sierra, I do not listen to robot music. I was cranking it up though because all those GMC Sierras come with those Bose. They come with Bose speakers.
Mm.
Thanks to my friends at Bill Smith Buick GMC, I learned that. I didn't know that it had Bose speakers. Never knew that. Never knew Bose speakers were sweet, but they are. I was bumping to some Ariana Grande yesterday. Well, Vince was. I just happened to be, you know, in the car, in charge of it. I wouldn't be able to do that if not for my great friends at Bill Smith Buick GMC. They're the number one dealer and GM dealer, not just in Alabama, not just in the Southeast, in the country. There's only one dealer of the year, and it's Bill Smith Buick GMC. You can go see them on Highway 31 in Coleman, or you can shop online at BillSmithBuickGMC.com to deliver right to your driveway. Go get yourself a Sierra. That's what I got. 1500 limited SLT right now, 2022, $3,000 off sticker price. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous deal right now, given how tough it is to get great inventory. Well, it's not a problem at Bill Smith Buick GMC. They're family-owned and locally-owned and been around for 65 years. The GM, Andy Cole, is the best. You'll love him. Sales manager, Jonathan Yeager, awesome, awesome people. Just a text message away, if you buy a car from them, they'll take care of whatever you need. That's why 75% of their business repeat customers, result of superior customer satisfaction. They also have the huge used car super facility. So go see GMC's Dealer of the Year right there on Highway 31 in Coleman, or you can shop online at BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
It appears as though Alabama linebacker Jalen Moody will remove his name from the NCAA transfer portal and remain with the Crimson Tide. So that's good depth there at linebacker, something you and I have talked about that in certain years, the last couple of years, has been an issue for the Crimson Tide. Now, he hasn't been overly productive yet, hasn't really gotten that opportunity, but to be able to have that depth there, to be able to have a body that can give you different reps in different schemes, and then also, we know linebacker, probably the most utilized position in special teams, top to bottom, a guy that'll give you a body there. So a pretty good gift for Nick Saban to be get a guy that's going to stick around, stay in his scheme, and add some depth to that linebacker position.
Yeah, and I look at really everything that he was this year. And I know he didn't get a ton of opportunities. And I know with Henry To'o coming in and basically jumping in front of him when he thought it was his job, probably hurt a little bit, right? It probably stung.
Yeah.
But I'd feel pretty comfortable filling the role of Christian Harris if I were him. Like, I'd feel pretty excited about what 2023 might look like. And while his feelings were likely hurt, understandably so, I think walking away from the opportunity that's right in front of him because he's holding a grudge, probably not in his best interest. So I'm glad that cooler heads prevailed and he's going to be back with the Tide because that's the best place for him. Because 1 year, 2 years at middle linebacker at Alabama is the equivalent of four at another place potentially. You're going to get a ton of opportunities there. So really happy that he decided to make this decision.
All right, we talked about this yesterday, and it appears as though now it is gaining momentum. Multiple people reporting that they believe it will take place. Philip Marshall, Justin Hokanson, all stating that they believe that Derek Mason is out at Auburn as the defensive coordinator and will accept that job at Oklahoma State, believing that Jeff Schmetting will move to defensive coordinator and Christian Robinson coming in from Florida will be your new inside linebackers coach at Auburn. We stated, went through the different ways, things that this seemed a little bit odd yesterday. I stated yesterday why I'm not a huge fan of it. It has nothing to do with Jeff. It's just that I'm a fan of Mace, and I like Derek Mason, and I like him as a defensive coordinator. I like him as a human, and I like the experience that he brings to that staff, having been a head coach in the SEC and a coordinator at multiple Power 5 destinations. So I think that this is sort of a personal decision if this goes down for Derek Mason, but it's a hit to Auburn, in my opinion. I don't see how you could look at it and say we lose our DC to Oklahoma State, that's a positive. I don't know how – I've seen some folks trying to spin that as a positive, but for me, it's going to be hard for me to buy into that.
Yeah, they're reading the Auburn Kool-Aid there, man. This is a bummer. I don't know how else to tell you. I mean, this is a pretty significant loss. Not just because of what he means on game day, those 3.5 hours where he's calling defensive plays, but the way he interacts with the guys, the way he always seems to, and look, you can say what you want about Vanderbilt and his time there and the challenges that he had at Vanderbilt, but the guys played hard for him, man. He is a gravitational personality. And as Brian Harsin is a little bit more militaristic, which, by the way, I view as still as a compliment. Like, I know people like, well, you want to be a player's coach. Why? Like, why do you want to be a player's coach? Like, no, have your assistants be player's coaches. Head guy's got to set the tone. So I think his compliment to Brian Harsin was nice and probably was a good thing for the players, because if Coach Harsin came down on them perhaps, or if Coach Harsin was maybe just running them hard, Coach D. Mace would be a guy that you could go approach and have a good, honest conversation with. You know what I mean? Like, I could never talk to Nick Saban the way I talked to Jim McElwain. Jim McElwain was my sounding board. He's like my best buddy. Okay? Coach Saban, not that way. And I would imagine that was probably the way it was for Coach Mace and Harsin. So there's probably some things that Coach Mason was able to talk to the players about that they wouldn't feel comfortable talking to Coach Harsin about. So that's, I think, just a big loss in so many ways. So bummed that he's going to be leaving the state, but legitimately bummed that he's leaving the conference, because I feel like he's one heck of a coach, and I think the conference is better with him, that's for sure.
Auburn defensive lineman Lee Hunter has announced that he will sign with Central Florida. He was a big-time recruit coming out, and that was a tough loss, because you are a little bit concerned outside of Kobe Wooten with the interior of that Auburn defensive line coming back next year. But the other side, they seem to be getting more and more good news. Now, weigh your good news however you'd like, whichever side of the scale, however you view it, it can be different. Austin Troxell has announced that he'll return. Nick Broms has announced that he's returned. And now Brandon Council has announced that he will return. Now, Council, when healthy, in my opinion, surprisingly, has been the best Auburn offensive lineman in the last 2 years. Now, that's, once again, slide that on the scale however you see fit. Should a guy from Akron be able to come in and be Auburn's best offensive lineman maybe ever? Probably not. No. But you get three guys back that have experience, obviously now know the majority of the scheme. We think it's going to stay similar, but it's not going to be exactly what it was last year. But have played a lot of college football. And Auburn hasn't had a lot of wins in the portal with the offensive line position. And there have been a couple of guys out there that they've been in the mix for that they haven't been able to lock down. So the fact that you can go out and at least keep three of your bodies that have played a lot of football for you from the last few years that are going to be able to come in and add depth and fight for positions and most likely start, especially if healthy, it's pretty good news for Brian Harsin and whoever ends up starting a quarterback for Auburn.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that obviously that they got to figure something out this year. But I think, first of all, the quarterback situation, we'll get into that. I mean, we have 8 months to break that down. But every time you mention Auburn quarterback situation, like, my eyes get big. I just want to talk about it. Like, I can't help myself. But you're right. And I do think that right now, with the surge that's gone down in the portal, there's still a lot of really good pieces in the portal right now that are still evaluating the terrain. I think there'll be another round of portal movement in May. And I would even go as far as to say there'll be another round of portal movement in late July or even early August. Now, will the early August portalees, will they have an impact on the season? Probably not. I mean, I don't know. Could you, Cole, transfer in late August and be ready to play early September?
Ooh, late? Mm.
I think it depends on the position, if you're in playing shape,
yeah, it depends on position and depends on similarity and scheme. Yeah, let's say it's your previous coordinator and you're rolling back into that old system, probably then you could. But that would be difficult. Just the familiarity, the chemistry, continuity, a lot. So much, like you said, would depend on position there. It'd be tough to do it that late.
I mean, if you're wide receiver, you can get through it. Not that that's a dumb position or anything, Damian. So I mean, you're looking at me.
It's all good. It's all good.
All I got to do is say, hey, run this route.
Right, yeah.
Hey, X, run a post. Hey, X, yeah, run a comeback. Yeah. It ain't that hard.
just terminology.
Yeah, that's a piece of cake, though. But we can get you in the lineup early. Hey, dude, I need you to run a go route and be alert. If the guy's staying on top, I'm going to throw you back shoulder.
Sounds good.
Perfect. We can work that out. We can work that out in two practices, baby. That's no problem. So I think receiver you could play. I think even defensive back to a certain extent you could potentially play depending on the scheme. If you're doing a bunch of pattern matching, probably not. If you're a D tackle, I think you could play. But I think if you're along the offensive line, if you're a quarterback, if you're a middle linebacker, it might be a little bit more difficult. So it would just depend, I think, on the position. But I don't think anyone that thinks that the portal now, the movement's done, it's not. No. I think we're going to have at least two more surges after
spring. Will be a big move.
Massive one. Because a lot of guys are graduating. They want to finish up.
And you find out you're not going to have your position. I think maybe more important, even more so than anything academically, is a lot of guys get through spring and say, well, it doesn't look like I'm starting, so I better get out.
Right.
Better find another place to go. Ian Matthews, another Auburn defensive lineman, has announced that he's going to enter the NCAA transfer portal. So that position now is one that becomes a pretty big concern for me. I think offensive line still has to be up there. You missed on Mason Brooks out of Western Kentucky. He's going to go to Ole Miss. A lot of folks at Auburn thought they had a good shot to land him, an offensive tackle that had played really good football for Western Kentucky. You do get Troxel, Brahms, and Council back. Receiver may have moved to the top of the list. I think O-line wide receiver, for me, would be position 1-1A.
Receiver's a lot easier to find. O-line's a tough one.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
No, yes, just because I thought O-line play across the board was down, not only from a group perspective, but from an individual perspective last year. I mean, even some of the guys that people would point out to you that said that they were the best at their position, best in the league, top three in the league, in the nation, whatever, I didn't think played great, great football. But I just don't – here's the thing about receiver. Can you find them? Yes. But who's out there that you feel like could come in and make an impact right now? We didn't think Jameson Williams would make a huge impact, or at least the impact that he did last year. So if you get a guy with talent, you can put him in position to maybe be able to go out and make plays. But I think right now, not edge – but the interior defensive line position for Auburn would probably be in that number three slot as biggest concern for me heading into this upcoming football season, just because of the bodies that have departed and the lack of depth that you're going to have at that position. Never a lack of depth when we visit with John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback. He joins us each and every Friday. Thanks to our friends at Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it. Craneworks, rental works, yeah! Big dog's got it.
John Parker Wilson on McElroy and Kublik in the Morning is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. Now, John Parker Wilson.
John Parker, always great having you on the Bud Light Hotline. Not sure exactly how familiar you are, but want to ask you, since you and the Wilson name pretty much built everything Hoover Athletics, what do you have on former Hoover quarterback Robbie Ashford that's going to make the move from Oregon back to Auburn?
Saw Robbie play at Hoover a little bit. I know that was a big move going out, from Hoover to the West Coast, but now coming back to Auburn, he was a big guy. He was very athletic, could move around, had a big arm, so. I always love to see anybody come back home to the state of Alabama, no matter what school they're going to. So that was a local guy coming back. You got to love it, I think it's a good move for Auburn. And in the time of transfer portals, I think you take any good players you can get.
What do you know about the transfer portal and just how active Alabama will be? Are they kind of still at this point surveying the landscape, assessing their own roster, and how much do you anticipate them being a player in the portal this upcoming offseason?
Well, how many guys have we had go to the portal so far?
Oh my gosh, lost count.
Yeah, I know, me too. It's a lot. So we got guys leaving in the portal. We got guys leaving to the NFL. So we got some roster spots. We got some cap space left. That's crazy to even say that, isn't it? But so we got some cap space left to move. I think, you know, judging from Coach Saban's past, he's going to be very calculated about it, and I think aggressive with a transfer portal. Why not? You know, we saw what Jameson Williams did, what Henry Toto's done, what guys like Landon Dickerson and Coker have done in the past to transfer. So if you get roster spots and you can make some moves, I think he is going to be aggressive. I think the thing, though, that I know he's going to be, you know, thinking about, and any coach is going to be thinking about, is, and he said this a lot during recruiting too, it's not just, okay, let's go get the fastest wideout we can get or the biggest, strongest linebacker that's out there that can make 200 tackles a year. We got to get guys that fit the system, that fit the culture, that fit the process. And in a time in transfer portals where there's probably going to be a lot of one and done, a lot of Jameson Williams that come in, show out, go get paid. I think that's going to be a lot more of the norm. Getting good guys that's going to fit your system, whether it's Alabama or Auburn or any other school, it's going to be very important.
John Parker Wilson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Thanks to our friends at Craneworks. We know what's going to be gone from the wide receiver position at Alabama. One thing that caught me off guard this week, I was looking around. Jameson Williams and John Metchie III were number one, number two in the nation in receiving yards on third down this year in the Power Five, 471 and 408 yards that they had receiving just on third down. We saw some of the youngsters sort of step up, Trayshawn Holden, Ja'Cory Brooks. We know what JoJo Earl may be capable of doing, but is that a position you could see being targeted in the portal? And how concerned are you just about, with Slade Bolden added to that mix, the amount of receivers that are going to be gone from this Alabama roster heading into next fall?
I think it's definitely a spot you target. You know, we lost a lot of production. Those are crazy numbers for Metchie and Jameson about third down. So that's about almost half of their production came on third down, which is a wild number. So I think there's not a lot coming back. Not to take anything away from the younger guys, but you know, we saw Trayshawn and Ja'Cory Brooks and JoJo. If you can go add some experience, and that's another word that you hear Coach Saban say a lot, is experience, and talking about how important it is to have live game reps and to be out there in tough situations and see how people perform. You can add experience. You know, the receiver is kind of like running back. It's a position where you don't hurt a ton of feelings by bringing in a new guy. Now, if I'm the starting quarterback and you bring in another starting quarterback, that's going to have a chance to take my job. Now I'm going to be backup. You know, you get some feelings hurt. That could really affect a quarterback room. But a wide receiver, you know, kind of a corner to an extent, running back, those are positions where the more the merrier. You know, the better Jameson Williams did, the more balls that John Metchie was going to catch. And I think that's their mindset. So bringing in a new receiver, I think you bring it as much as you can, as much speed as you can. We saw how productive it was for Coach Saban this past season.
Are you concerned at all about the depth or lack thereof at quarterback? I know that Milroe, of course, is a prized prospect. People feel good about him. Paul Tyson leaving is, of course, unfortunate, but I don't think anyone can blame him for potentially finding another spot.
We had a caller tell us that Ty Simpson's coming in, though. And there's,
oh, that's right.
He's the next starting quarterback.
Yeah, well, you're only as good as your last game. About. That's a good point. Yeah. I forgot about that. Between that caller and the Stetson Bennett haters, I don't know where we're at right now in college fandom. But when you look at quarterback depth, are you at all concerned, knowing that it would be obviously a luxury to have another guy back there?
Luxury, I agree. That's a good word. I'm not concerned. We got the Heisman Trophy winner, Bryce Young. Milroe, to me, is a guy that the more reps he's going to get, I mean, he's got such good tools and looks so good out there, just, you know, throwing and the ball and running the ball. You know, it'd be great to have a third string quarterback. I know we got some prospects coming in. I mean, that's the least of my concern this season, is the quarterback position, because I think both guys that we have on roster can get it done. It's, you know, hell, NFL teams only take two quarterbacks into the season. If something happens, you go make a move and hit the transfer portal and get another quarterback. But, you know, not a necessity, a luxury in having three quarterbacks and go out there, you know. And if not, if something does happen, something crazy, put Joe Girard back there quarterback and have him do it, because the two guys we got right now are going to be able to get it done. And obviously, Bryce can. And I'm excited to see Milroe. I mean, the guy is to me, I haven't seen a ton, but watching his high school tape and when he's out there, he's going to be a special player.
He's got some juice when he gets to that next gear very quickly. And I think he could have some fun with him. You can find a different way to utilize him. John Parker Wilson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Thanks to our friends at Craneworks. Let's roll into the NFL. Just interested from you, which matchup, be it position group, individual player, two teams facing off this weekend that you're most excited about?
Man, you know, I'm still disappointed that my Falcons are not in there. I know we got a long way to go, and we'll get there. We won it in baseball, so we're not getting too gritty. So we got the Titans at home, -3.5. Love the Titans. Derrick Henry, hopefully he's back. He's coming back, right? We got a chance to have him back. It's going to be huge.
Hang on. Let me just so I can make sure I'm properly keeping count. How many teams are we referring to as we? Is it is it every team in the Southeastern footprint? I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
It kind of is the way it is, right? So I was going to go to the Bucs next. Definitely not we. The Bucs.
Okay.
The Titans, I feel like this is me speaking now. I'm a Falcons fan just because got Matt Ryan, friends still on the team.
And they bought your first house. Like, I get that. Like, that's fine. I understand that.
The team.
Yes.
Okay. Now the next level of we goes that people from Alabama that are playing in the NFL. So a lot of Alabama at Tennessee Titans. And then I think that's about it for the rest, right? I'm sure we got some guys. I like the Rams, big Rams fan. I think it's going to be tough to go on the road against Tom Brady. The guy is 44 years old. It's unbelievable. And then I think it's hard to pull against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. So I've got the Titans and the Packers I want the Rams to upset the Bucs, and then I think the Chiefs are going to win. So I don't know. The Rams and the Bucs is going to be a tough one to me.
Talking with Kenny Chesney on the Bud Light Hotline right here on McElroy and Kubik in the morning.
I don't know if it's Kenny Chesney or Drake. I can't decide which one it is right now.
Same.
I mean,
I would take either one of those guys.
That's a fair point. I mean, I do think that is a really solid comp. If you want to be one of those two, you're in good shape.
Yeah, they could be a lot worse right there. I appreciate it. They're very kind of you, Greg, on this Friday morning.
I saw your brother yesterday, by the way, at swim lessons. Ross. Yeah.
Ross can't swim.
Ross was working good. on floating on his back. The floating on your back thing. That's what you have to learn first. Yeah, I saw Ross yesterday. I hadn't seen him in a while.
Dude, how tough are those swim lessons for these kids?
Dude, I can't be in
kids,
there.
Kids, parents.
Yeah, I can't.
I tried to tell Greg, dude, leave. Don't stay
told,
in there.
I was told by Miss Rebecca yesterday that I have to leave.
No, they'll send you out if the kids
want. No, she sent me out.
Yeah, that happened to me. If your kids want you too much, they'll make you leave.
Yeah, no, they made me leave.
But then when I started seeing her chunking them in the deep end when they couldn't swim yet, right. Over and over, I left on my own. I was just like, can't watch
it's
this anymore.
Cruel. It's,
nope.
It's cruel. I mean, just throwing them in there, hoping these kids just figure out a way to float.
Good luck. In the deep end, nonetheless. Not the 13 foot. I was just like, nope, I'm going to be outside. Sorry. Done. John Parker, always great stuff, man. I will go to my grave blaming myself for Ross not becoming a college quarterback, for me being on his staff at Bumpus Middle School back in the day. I blame myself for that one. Mm. So, being a part of that coaching staff. Also asked to leave that coaching staff for making kids roll after practice. So,
dude, you're not allowed to do that. What is wrong with you?
That's the reason. That's the problem with everything today is we're not making kids roll after practice.
Solve.
The worst punishment by far. Not even close.
No, pencil rolls is the worst.
I agree. I remember. Is that what you're talking about, Nicole? The pencil rolls down the length of the field?
Yes, absolutely. And Landrum Roberts lost a bet and still owes me 300 yards of rolls. And he has stated on air that he doesn't think it's a big deal. He's like, I'm not worried about it at all. I said, let's go out and do it right now then. He still hasn't done it. It's been 3 years. He hasn't done it.
Dude, pencil rolls are the worst.
I think I did them one time for – I missed a class or something. And I had to do them at like 5 in the morning with Gary Jones.
Yes, I did.
on the grass field. It was like January or February.
Oh, yeah. So the dew's out there and it's cold? Yeah.
That's just so frustrating.
Double whammy.
I had to do it one time with Rodney. And I think it might have been, I had to do pencil rolls. We did 100 yards down, 100 yards back. And I thought I was going to die. And it was because John Parker, it was like my fourth time ever staying in the hotel. And I was just working on my QB test and like wasn't looking at my clock.
Sure.
I'm dead serious. We're in the hotel. Like, what mischief could I have possibly gotten into? And I just wasn't even looking at my clock. And I don't even know who I was rooming with at the time. And I was like 2 minutes late to a meeting. Had to do barrel rolls. Awful. Mm. I blame John Parker for not telling me.
Well, yeah, I was about to say that was probably on me.
Yes,
I think we were.
We were, and I'm gonna put that. I'm gonna put that one squarely on your shoulders.
Definitely on you.
100%. Absolutely. The fact that I was late is absolutely your fault.
I don't recall that. If you were late, I would take it, but I don't know if you blame that on me.
That was back in the era when we would go. Y'all would love this. After we got done with our pregame meetings on Friday nights, we'd go into Coach Shula's, what was it? Suite.
And eat
chocolate covered strawberries and go over the game plan.
Wow.
Dude, yeah.
The life of a quarterback.
Must be nice.
It was so bad.
He had like a little, you know, like a living room
in his
suite, and then they'd have a spread of food for him. I remember the chocolate covered strawberries.
Did you have someone feeding them to you, though? Yeah, is the key.
And fanning us with like gigantic ostrich feathers.
The cheerleaders were there.
Yeah, the cheerleaders were there. We had a jazz musician, a jazz band.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I just remember Jimmy Barnes not being able to come up with any of his favorite third down plays. Like Jimmy Barnes, hey, Jimmy, what do you like on third and six?
Train right, Jack left, Bama.
Jimmy, that's not in this week. Okay.
Still like it.
642 F and swing. Jimmy, that's not in this week. Jimmy, your playlist is right in front of you. Just pick one of those. Old Jimmy Barnes. Greg.
Not there.
No.
Nope. Not there.
You're always here. Thanks to our friends at CraneWorks each and every week, John Parker.
Indeed. Thank you so much to CraneWorks. And CraneWorks with offices in Birmingham, Mobile, and Nashville. They're the Southeast leader for crane and equipment rental. Give the big dog a call for your next lift, machinery moving, or rigging project. And don't forget the Rental Works division always has the qualified operators for all their equipment, including the aerial and earth moving equipment, and WasteWorksUSA.com for all your residential and commercial roll-off dumpster needs. That's WasteWorksUSA.com.
Thanks, Sean Parker. We'll catch up next week.
See you guys.
John Parker Wilson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun, Bud Light is there. He joins us thanks to our friends at CraneWorks each and every week. When we come back, Cincinnati got over the hump. The drought is over. What will it take for that to continue against the Titans? We'll discuss it right after this on McElroy and Kubelik. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. If you're not 100% aware of what exactly we were describing, essentially you just lay down and you just roll. And trust me, this is where Landrum got sideways, saying he didn't think it was a big deal. And then he lost the wager, and he hasn't gone out and done it yet.
Do it.
He owes me 300 yards, and I had actually kind of forgotten about that until we got to discussion.
That's tough.
300 yards, dude. Come on, man. That's messed up.
Walker Hayes actually tweeting into the show moments ago. He tweets at Cole Kubik, had a guy in the O-line group miss summer school during tutoring twice. O-line coach pulled us up to the practice field at 5 a.m., did 500 yards of rolls while the guy who missed watched. I've never thrown up that much in my life. Boy, that is, that would get somebody hurt. You're asking to get a guy hurt doing that. And I'm not talking about the ones rolling. I'm talking about the one watching.
That's one of those, let me holler at you in the locker room real quick, homie. No. Let me holler at you, bro.
But basically, you lay down on the field and you roll.
And roll.
That's it. And I know it sounds like it's not a huge deal. It's not that bad, but I promise you, get to about yard 50 and then holler at me let me know. And let me know if you can see straight.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Your equilibrium is gone after about 15 yards, and then you're trying to get it back, and then it goes out further, and then you can't breathe
because
it
takes your entire body to do it.
Exactly.
You'll be going sideways. You don't even know. You'll be going backwards, and you'll be like, hang on a second. Wait, I'm going this way. No, yep. I'm going south.
It's hard to go to stay on a straight line. And so then you work more because you're zigzagging up and down the field the entire time. It is not enjoyable. And I would challenge anybody to get out there and do it. Let's just do it. Let's do a Mac and Cube roll challenge.
I want everybody to get your roll on.
I want to see that. Yes.
What?
Get out there. But if you did try and you didn't come out healthy, then our friends there at Andrew Sports Medicine can help you out. They're dedicated to keeping our community healthy while aggressively pursuing victory over injury with 7 Alabama locations. Call Andrew Sports Medicine 24/7 at 205-939-3699 or visit andrewsportsmedicine.com. I had a teammate get assigned 2,000 up-downs in a day.
That's a tough one.
2,000 in a day.
Oh.
We got thrown 1,000 around like it was no big deal, but this was a special occasion, and Victor Riley was assigned 2,000 in a day.
Ooh.
Now,
his
GA was named Buck, who was Jimbo's brother-in-law, and Buck was our offensive line GA, and I saw him in College Station, I think 2 years ago. We kind of had a laugh about that, and he's like, yeah, I wasn't going to make him do 2,000. He said the problem was Rick would sit in his office and watch down on the practice field and count them. That was real. That would happen.
Who's Rick?
Trickett, offensive line coach. So, yeah, not fun. Up-down's almost as bad. Not as bad as rolling, but almost as bad. And the worst part was I never had to roll with our coaches, but they would make you go out there in full sweats. And these are the old-school cotton, like Russell sweats. So the sweatshirt and then those big sweatpants that never even seemed to like stay up ever. And so you had all that on and you were rolling and you got soaking wet because it was 5 in the morning and it was cold. Yeah, no thank you.
The grind.
That kept me in class. That made me go to class right there.
Attaboy.
Watching guys do that because we were forced again to work out at 5:30 in the morning. Everybody else had their choice of times to work out. You had like 5:30, noon, 2:30, 4:30.
Right.
We had to go with the 5:30 group. But seeing those guys do that during our workouts, that kept me going to class. I was like, I'll at least go sit in here. I might not retain anything, but I'm not going to have to roll because I'm not here.
There we go.
I can do that.
Aren't you a big man?
Yep. Very.
I'm not going to learn this info, but I'll sit here.
Right.
I wasn't saying that I wasn't going to learn it. It's just that there was a chance that I wasn't going to comprehend a lot of what was happening.
Again, it's just another example of the stigmatism of
athletes. What class did you skip?
I had that.
What class was it?
In class. I did skip one class one time and was caught and had to double up punishment work for that for a reason. We'll talk about it another day.
What class was
it?
I think that was like a macroeconomics class.
No wonder you don't know how the world works economically.
That was before I changed majors.
That makes so much sense.
Trust me. I went through like the first half of economics and I said, you know what? Let's get to a major that requires the least math possible.
There we go.
What are my list of those? Communication? Cool. Sign me up.
I had buddies that literally could not, like good friends of mine that were very, very intelligent that just said, I will not go get a business degree because I will not take math.
I was one of those guys. Put me in that classification.
Like, oh my gosh, dude. I'll sit here with you during the math labs and help you through it.
By the way.
You have to take two math classes. This is not that hard.
Not true.
I would have needed you.
Not, it's not true. It's not. Maybe two designated math, but the other classes that came with it that required said math, you might as well have been a math class. And so it wasn't a lack of willingness to do it. It was me understanding that my brain power could not allow it to get done. I was too busy worried about
OG counters,
gap schemes,
counter T,
gap schemes, and
power boss, toss sweep,
everything,
push crack.
I like that Greg references me as a total redneck when I was playing football at Auburn. Like,
first of all, when you talk like that, it's not redneck.
Whatever you want to call
it's O-line hand in the deep. It's O-line speak. All O-linemen speak with a very aggressive Southern accent. All of them. Do I paint with a broad brush? You better believe it.
I want to go sit down with that Michigan offensive line or the Wisconsin offensive line or the Minnesota offensive line next year and hear them talk like
that. Coach.
The North Dakota State offensive line talk like that? The Bison?
Probably. You think Fresno State's offensive line talks like that?
No, I can promise you Fresno doesn't.
Hell no.
Fresno doesn't talk with their mouths. They talk with their hands. All right? Fresno don't play. The unofficial team of Mac and Cube in the morning.
Absolutely. At least for last year. We might have a new one coming up this year. We'll figure it out. All right, when we come back, Chris the Bear Felica is with us. Giant basketball matchup in Auburn this weekend. NFL playoffs. Where's the money heading? Where are the smart plays around all of those matchups coming up this weekend? We'll discuss it with the Bear right after this.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.